Hi, this is Miss Melis, the Bathtub Mermaid, and you're listening to Tales from the Tub.
It's day 15 of the Dog Days of Podcasting, and I am sharing an essay that I wrote for Modern Creative Life that actually ran in January. The quotations that you hear throughout the piece were recorded for me by our good friend, Jay Langdance, whom you know from Masterpiece Audio Theater and his wonderful readings of the Norse mythology this season.
Tea is quiet, and our thirst for tea is never far from our craving for beauty. James Norwood Brad.
December 26th, 2016. It's a chilly day in La Paz, BCS, Mexico. Chilly for the tropics, anyway. About 65 degrees, and the sky is overcast. I follow my mother and her friend Mary into a tiny tea shop in the heart of town, near where my parents, who retired to Baja Sur just after the millennium turned, go every weekend for breakfast and the farmer's market. All three tables at Karuna Tea are placed end-to-end to accommodate our group. Soon, we will be joined by another of my mother's friends, Gary Ellen, editor of the Baja Citizen, and her 14-year-old daughter, Molly. As we settle into our chairs and find places to stash our purses, in Mexico it's considered bad luck to put your purse on the floor or the ground, we are also exchanging hugs and kisses. Gary Ellen says she's looking forward to finding my tea, and we all agree that should be the title of the article either she or my mother will write. I almost stole it for this piece.
Tea began as a medicine and grew into a beverage. Okakura Kakuzu.
Hector and Inez, the young couple that owns Karuna, introduce themselves and explain that there will be a short presentation on the history of tea before we begin the tasting. Along with the demitasse cups and saucers that have been set out for us, there is a 2-page printout so we can follow along. The presentation takes only 10 or 15 minutes. Hector begins by sharing that tea was originally brewed for medicinal purposes and gradually became used as the beverage it is today. While he speaks, Inez is busy behind the counter, prepping things for the tasting session to follow. Hector is such a captivating speaker, we barely notice her bustling. Among other things, we learn that tea is the most commonly consumed beverage in the world, far surpassing coffee, even though it's only grown in a few places. We are also told that all tea comes from the tea tree, Camellia sinensis, and that the differences in the 6 varieties, white, yellow, green, oolong, black, and pur, which is spelled P-U-E-R-H, are due to the way the leaves are picked and processed. The lighter the color, the less the leaves have been allowed to wither or oxidize. Oh, and those herbal teas we all love, like peppermint and chamomile, those are properly called tisanes.
Drink your tea slowly and reverently, as if it is the axis on which the world Earth revolves, slowly, evenly, without rushing towards the future. Thich Nhat Hanh.
We are presented with a white tea first, and it is so pale it might as well just be hot water. But when we sip from our lovely little cups, we are all awestruck by the nuanced flavor. Hector tells us it's appropriate to slurp a little when you taste tea, because that brings in air and lets the aroma work with the flavor. He also reminds us that tea is meant to be a serene drink and that we shouldn't rush. We are given dishes of dry and wet leaves to examine as we sip, and we are told that bag tea is generally made from the dregs and dust of tea leaves. If it crumbles into powder in the dry tea bag, Hector says, it's not fresh and you should just throw it away. We laugh about our first introduction to tea being of the worst possible kind, bagged, and then we refocus on the tasting. I'm struck by the way the wet green tea leaves look as though they're the result of a fortune teller's reading, and I wonder what their message might be. We are all surprised when Hector tells us that the brew time for this tea is less than a minute, and even more so when he tells us that white, yellow, and green tea leaves can be reused 2 or 3 times if you treat them gently.
Water is the mother of tea, a teapot its father, and fire the teacher, Chinese proverb.
As we progress through the spectrum of tea, one of the things that we all comment upon is the incredibly short steeping time on all of these different varieties. 30 seconds for the white teas, a minute or two for oolong, which is toward the middle in terms of strength. Also important, Hector tells us, is the temperature of the water. White tea is best when the water is about 155 degrees Fahrenheit, 70 Celsius. While the maximum temperature for the darkest oolong is 185 degrees Fahrenheit, or 85 degrees Celsius. We even learn the Chinese method of learning how to gauge the temperature of boiling water by comparing the size of the bubbles. When shrimp eyes appear, you're at the right level for white teas, and this progresses through crab eyes, fish eyes, strings of pearls, and finally, old man's water, also known as raging torrent, which refers to the rolling boil you want for black teas and blended teas like Darjeeling and Earl Grey. One of the teas we try, a lighter oolong called Sencha, is an instant hit among everyone but 14-year-old Molly, and we all leave with a packet of it to brew at home.
Bread and water can so easily be toast and tea. Author unknown.
At some point, we notice that there are bowls of cookies on our tables. They're not icky sweet, just ginger and lemon biscuits meant to serve as palate cleansers between cups. After the first two cups, Inez also places a large bowl on the table, so that if we don't wish to finish any given cup of tea, we can dump it in a slightly more refined version of a wine tasting. There's no spitting. No one uses it. We pause every so often to compare notes, remarking upon the delicate flavors and the grassy or herbal aromas. We don't get to taste poor tea. It's very expensive and not really a flavor that the Western world has acquired, but Hector fetches a giant cake of it from his pantry and we pass it around and smell it. It reminds you of a barnyard, he says, speaking of the aroma, but in a pleasant way. His description is completely accurate.
Teas vary as much in appearance as the different faces of men. Hui Zung.
The last tea we sample is the one we're all most familiar with, Earl Grey. Hector explains that English-style black teas often include essential oils, in this case bergamot, to alter the flavor or soften the bitterness or astringency. My mother remarks that it's the drying effect that turns her off of most darker brews. Like Gary Ellen, she has found her tea in the Sencha and the other oolongs. I've enjoyed everything I've tasted, but Earl Grey is my favorite, and I'm keen to taste a new version. The cup that is poured for me has a deep amber color, and the aroma is both familiar but also more delicate than the blends I'm accustomed to. Hector explains that many tea companies use too much bergamot to disguise inferior tea leaves. When we taste this version, we notice how well-balanced the flavors are. Instead of overwhelming floral scents, there's just enough of the essential oil to enhance the tea. Again, Hector comments on water temperature and steeping time. He also cautions us that these leaves are not to be reused. In fact, this is the only tea of all the varietals we've been introduced to that Inez has made in a tea infuser, the glass pots made by Bodum that almost all tea drinkers probably possess. It's worth noting that this is the first time I've had this kind of tea without wanting to put milk or sugar, or both, in it. And even my mother is impressed that it isn't, quote, sucking the moisture out of my gums, end quote.
If you ask Zen people, they will say tea is not something that you pour with unawareness and drink like any other drink. It is not a drink. It is a medicine. It is a prayer. So they listen to the kettle creating a melody, and in that listening, they become more silent, more alert. Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh.
Six adorable teapots are arranged on the counter, each with their wet and dry leaves nearby, and collectively, we ask Hector and Inez to pose with them. We've kept our conversation on point during the tasting, but the Earl Grey marked the end. Tea and nibbled cookies are soothing, but not terribly filling, and we're all hungry. Conveniently, Karuna offers sandwiches as well as tea. We make our purchases, and then we order lunch. I choose their version of a peanut butter sandwich, and it's a combination of flavors I'm eager to duplicate here at home. Savory peanut butter, no sugar, with a dash of cracked pepper, sprouts, and cucumbers on toasted multigrain bread. It sounds weird, but the flavors combine really well, and the chai I order complements it perfectly. Molly still hasn't found her tea. I've found far too many, and we all go home with one or two brown paper packets, helpfully marked with recommended brewing instructions. I am the only one to take home any of the Earl Grey, and even though I've now been back in my home in Texas for almost 2 weeks, I still haven't brewed it. I'm not waiting for the perfect moment, but the right one. There's a difference. That's the way of tea. Sadly, Karuna Tea did not last the year. They're two very lovely people who had a really good idea, but didn't quite manage to keep things open. I hope they try again someday.
Bathtub Mermaid, Tales from the Tub is written by Melissa A. Bartel under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike International 4.0 license and is produced using Bostock and Audacity. For show notes, music credits, and transcripts, please visit www.bathtubmermaid.com. You can contact me on Twitter or Instagram at Melisse, M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, or you can send an email to Miss Melisse, M-I-S-S-M-E-L-Y-S-S-E, at gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, never let your bathwater get too cold.